Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm back again today. I thank you in advance for tuning into the program. Thank you for listening to what I have to say. This is a program where I guess I want to say that I attempt to augment newscasts that I see. Sometimes there is so much legal significance to a news story, and it is kind of hidden from the average person, the lay person. You don't see and cannot appreciate the legal significance sometimes of some of the news stories that we see on television or on the internet. There is so much incorrect reporting of events on TV and both the internet. And it's like sometimes I want to call it spotty reporting, because some of the blanks are not filled in. And so I have made it a quest, I guess you could say, my personal quest to fill in those blanks wherever I see them in different broadcasts. It is amazing how much that we lack in information when we hear a news story. It is amazing how much the public does not hear or does not know. And what we see and hear sometimes is oftentimes a condensed version of events, legal, the logistics of a story, or the how, when, and why of a story legally. And that's why we need people to contribute to the story or to develop the story in a legal way so that you can fully understand what's what. I was just talking to someone, a lay person, and she told me, she said, you know, I don't understand legal terms. I don't understand some of the legal things that people say. And so that is what this program is for. I don't know if I ever get to breaking down legal terms, because most of what lawyers study in law school is Latin, believe it or not. And I almost fell out of my seat when I when I recall being in law school. When I discovered that I was going to be studying some Latin for a while in order to learn what the law is. And that's certainly what it is. And so when we see and hear television broadcasts now, we don't half know what we're doing or seeing. They do try to reduce it down to a lay person's understanding. But then it takes a lot out of the import of some of the legal events that we see and hear about. One story, I know you've been seeing it all day, I've been seeing it on the internet everywhere, and that's the story about the police officer dragging the young lady out of the classroom here in Columbia. Well, I'm not in Columbia, but in South Carolina. Troubling, yes, it is a troubling situation. I, sitting as a judge in Detroit, I encountered so many cases where police officers did young people for maybe skipping school or maybe a fight in the hallway. And I often would remark how it used to be. Part of my time in South Carolina was when I was, 12 years old and until the time I was 17 years old. I spent 5 years here in South Carolina going to school. I came here when I was in sixth grade, and I left when I was in the 11th grade. And I recall a time, especially with me and my sister, we were always targets because we were twins. And then we, you know, you draw attention. Who are you? Ah, you look just alike. And that's part of the reason why we were in the band, marching band, because we looked just alike. You know, that's the goal of marching band. But anyway, we got into a fight. Now, it's not one that we voluntarily wanted to, we didn't start the fight, but there were like gangs of people in that day and time. And we happened to be new in South Carolina, new as students, and we were and bullied sometimes. And I know why, because you drew attention, teachers would call you to the front and all of that kind of thing. And there were those that did not like it. But even in those instances, I can remember my sister and I even being escorted home by the vice principal of the school because we were picked on and bullied as young students. And even when we walk into a store now, my sister and I, we draw attention. Someone will say, wait a minute, are you twins? And it may not seem so to some people, but we get a lot of attention. And that caused some negative reactions when we were in school here in South Carolina. But the most I saw, and this is what I'm getting to, the most I saw is that we would be called into the principal's office. I remember getting demerits for something. Demerits is like a point system whereby if you get too many, you have to be suspended. I can't remember what the demerits were for, mostly for fighting, I believe. You know, every time I looked around, there was somebody picking a fight. Well, I wasn't going to stand there without a response, let me tell you. And in the demerit system, you accumulate enough and you get suspended, which never happened to me. But what I want to say is that is the way administratively disruptions in the school, in the classroom were handled. That was back when I was a student. And to my surprise, I see this morning a police officer apprehending, violently apprehending a young woman in a courtroom, listen to that, in a classroom in South Carolina. And it was extremely violent, extremely excessively done by the police officer. And I have a problem with that. I really do. I really have a problem with that. And I know that it was extreme. My first problem with police being in the public school systems is that there is a criminalization of behavior in the school systems that you won't believe. If you're disruptive in class, that is a criminal. When you see a police officer apprehending a person like that, there are implications of criminal charges for something that formerly was, you know, used to be handled administratively by the suspension or adding demerits to your file or something like that. If there were privileges that were extended to the student, perhaps like being in a marching band, this never happened to me, maybe I want to make that clear, something maybe that would be suspended. You'd be suspended from playing ball or something like that. That's the normal avenues of discipline for disruptive students. I understand from this story that this young woman was on a cell phone and refused to get off. Well, that's a bad idea, and I don't approve or condone that kind of behavior. If you're told to do something in school, you should do it. If you protest, you better have a good reason. That's my view of it. And when we used to get in trouble with students at our elementary school, my parents would follow the discipline of the school and discipline again. And that used to be the normal order of things in terms of the scenario that I've seen today. But what I started to see as both a legal practitioner and as a judge is that this the behavior, the disruptions in the classroom were continually being criminalized. That is, made a part of a misdemeanor or felony conviction, most often a misdemeanor conviction in Detroit, Michigan, 90-day misdemeanor, where a student could face 90 days in jail. Say the normal fight in the hallway was handled administratively instead of criminally by the presence of police officers. That is disturbing to me. That is the first issue. I would say that I don't believe police belong in the classroom unless there's some unusual justification for it. Now, let me be fair here. In Detroit, Michigan, there were a lot of situations where there were guns being brought to school, gangs in the school, and so maybe it mandated that kind of attention from the police authorities. But here in South Carolina, there was no indication of such a thing that I've seen. My sister was a substitute teacher for a time here, and she did say there were discipline problems, but nothing, in my opinion, that would rise to the level of requiring police monitoring. And so what we have here is a normal discipline problem by students with police oversight. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, unless there's extraordinary information, extraordinary gang activity in a school environment or violence, I would not be able to justify the presence of police officers in this kind of situation. I constantly disagreed with it when I was in Detroit, Michigan, because then students were required to come to court and stand before me when they could be doing their schoolwork. And so as a judge, I really tried to minimize the number of appearances that students would have to come in, where they would have to come and appear before a judge, and then maximize something of the experience. Maybe have the student go through a prison or a jail where they could see the potential environment they could involve themselves in if they did not cease with their misbehaving. Those were very fruitful experiences for the students. And, you know, other programs that would allow a student to open their eyes to see that that kind of behavior could land them behind a jail cell, land them in a jail cell. So I believe that this incident that took place in South Carolina first is new to me, because I never knew that police were monitoring, I have a problem with that word today, monitoring student behavior in the classroom now in South Carolina. And if there's gang activity, I have yet to learn of it, which would justify that kind of situation that we see today. Excessive force, yes, it's culpable behavior, and hopefully the student will not be disciplined, even though there should be some some way to address her behavior, not to obey the authorities there, because simply this, I believe maybe there are school rules that require the student not use their cell phone in the classroom. And I know she did not resist the officer. That is another reason why the officer should not have been as aggressive. But I do agree that there should be something said to the young woman, even though what was said was clearly wrong, was clearly offensive to me when I looked at it. And then the officer apparently has some other problems, background problems. Another problem I have with it is, why do we allow these officers to stay on any job when they have these kinds of problems and they are exposed to the public? There are just some people that can't deal with the public. They are not people. And so they should be at a desk somewhere looking at a paperwork or something rather than dealing with the public. So I do have an issue with what took place. That I believe was today or yesterday, probably yesterday. And I believe that this young woman should seek redress in the legal system and not have to face the criminal justice system. So I have gone on and on. Thank you for listening to the program. I'm going to bow out now. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/settingtherecordstraight2015. You should listen to this episode or any of the other episodes on the show page. You may email me. Please do. Please email me at bks1233@outlook.com. If you have a comment, a question, a criticism, or just some information. And as always, I will definitely provide a reply to you very promptly. Well, thank you again for listening to this program. Have a very blessed, I was going to say weekend, night, and I will talk to you next time.